is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 757. I'm Nicole Shiro, and today I am joined by my guest engineer and guest co-host, Mr. Tracy Schultz.
Hello.
You're listening to KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby and KOOP.org. Each week, we take a look at theater from many angles. If it's theater and performance, then it's on Offstage and On the Air. Stick around. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Never be a wallflower sitting in a chair up against the wall.
It's Wednesday, January 31st, 2024, and today we have on the Vortex Theater with amazing Age is More Than Just a Number, It's a Story, and the Walking Shadow Shakespeare Company with Legends of the Hidden Tempest. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions including the news and views from the world of theater in Austin, New York, and Timbuktu and beyond. Stick around.
Very cool.
Yeah, that was a big dance break. Because if you didn't know, that was Cheetah Rivera, who we'll talk about here in a moment. But that's from my favorite Candor and Ebb musical with a book written by the incredible Terrence McNally, also known as AKA T-Mac. And it's The Rink. It was 1984, Cheetah Rivera and Liza Minnelli. It's not one that's well known and done a lot. Had one Jason Alexander in it and a whole bunch of... It's fantastic. But yeah, that was Cheetah dancing up a storm right there at that fantastical dance break. But before we get into Cheetah, let's say thank you to Kim Simpson.
Yeah,
for
thanks.
Another fantastical hour of International Folk Bazaar. I love the Kim Simpson. I say it every week.
I learned a lot.
I always do, all the time. And Lisa and I are always so impressed that he can pronounce anything in like any language. It's mind-boggling to me. Like, correctly, like all the time. We're like, how do you know that? How did you do that? But that's why he's Kim Simpson. And he does the International Folk Bazaar. But love him, so thank you. Hello, Tracy.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. I thank you for having me back after last week, this week. It feels like a routine.
Yeah. I know. It's 2 weeks in a row. Yeah. But you've been coming and jumping on the show with Lisa and I for like almost, what, 15 years now?
So about so. Yeah. It's like whenever it's like the need arises. And it's always, again, I always learn something.
Well, we appreciate you. Just so people know, you do have your own show on this station. What show is that, Tracy? And when could people listen to you?
I do a show called What's New. It's an interview show. It's on Thursdays from 1 to 2 p.m. It's a very eclectic, every week it's like something very different. It's like events, musicians, things like that.
I know you covered the theater, the music, the art, what's happening and what's new.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it's called What's New.
It was the name that I ended up with. I was trying to figure out it's like a better name.
No, I like What's New.
And then that's the one that stuck. And so I was like, all right, that's cool.
I like it.
15 years later, so.
I like it. Well, I'm going to introduce some of the guests that we have here in the studio. I'm going to say all first time for you guys to be at the studio, which is kind of on our show. So
on your show,
yeah. So that's very exciting. That speaking right now is the world famous Bob. Hello.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having us on.
Yes, thank you. And we also have Richard Roland Gartner.
Hello.
Hello. And Joseph Brooks.
Hello. It's good to be here.
Oh, I love it. So they're all with Amazing. Age is More Than Just a Number. It's a Story. But they're going to sit here and chat with us a little bit at the beginning,
very
too.
Cool.
And we're going to then chat with them. Sad news alert. I don't like the sad news, but this one's a big one. We lost Cheetah Rivera yesterday afternoon. We lost her yesterday. We all knew yesterday afternoon. 91 years old. Definitely was living a full life. She was apparently had a brief illness, so it wasn't just all of a sudden. I don't even know where to start with Cheetah's life. I mean, I guess in the most popular culture world, if you weren't just a theater person, you're going to know her as Anita from West Side Story.
Yeah.
Or maybe the original production of Chicago as Velma Kelly with Gwen Verdon and Jerry Orbach. But 10-time Tony nominee. She got a Best Actress Musical Prize for Kiss of the Spider Woman and The Rink, which we just played. Again, I'm just putting it out there. People, if you are interested in looking at a show that isn't done all the time, it has a great score, is easy to do, a small cast, it's two ladies, seven men, and has roller skates. It's called The Rink, and it was written in 1984. So that's one to find the oh, yeah. Nick, remember him, Nick Mayo? Nick's
yeah,
weird.
Nick Mayo.
Nick's other. Nick and I can do that whole show together. Nick and Nick, we're going on the road with it.
I want to anyway, see that show now. I
yeah, it's
see it.
It's a great, great album. Lots of Cheetah and Liza. Cheetah and Liza, ironically, it was during Liza's Coke years, so she didn't do a lot of the performances, but her understudy was Stockard Channing.
Oh,
so
well.
It was Stockard Channing and Cheetah when it wasn't Liza and Cheetah.
And all three of them on roller skates. That's mm-hmm. awesome.
I'm not saying it's out there, but it might be out there. Some bootleg versions of that of that show.
Be
but
a,
I don't. I'm not saying it is.
Just saying it.
I'm just saying it could be.
It might be out there on the internet.
So what's interesting is that Cheetah grew up in D.C. Her mom enrolled her in school. She was one of two students picked by a guest teacher to audition in New York and was given a scholarship to study dance. And then that's when she made her Broadway debut at age 20 in the original production of Guys and Dolls.
Wow.
I know. And then after she did that, she got her first professional dance job on tour with Elaine Stritch in Call Me Madam. So then in the 50s, she really spent most of her life in a variety of comedies. She was in Can-Can.
Okay.
There's no trick to the Can-Can. That's a good Cole Porter musical, too. That's one people don't do a lot.
No.
Lisa and I have talked about that.
Yeah.
Seventh Heaven, Mr. Wonderful's, Shinbone Alley. I don't know. I mean, she originated the role of Anita in West Side Story. She went on and was in Chicago. She went on and was in Jerry's Girls. A lot of people may know her as Aurora from Kiss of the Spider Woman, another musical with the Terrence McNally and the Kander and Ebb, because those gents just roll that up. But Kander, you know, as Gwen Verdon was Bob Fosse's muse and Anne Rankin, Gwen Verdon was very much Terrence McNally's muse and Kander and Ebb's muse. So we just got Kander. Put him in bubble wrap. So, I mean, that's where we're at. But she was in the revival. Oh, the revival of Nine. I forgot about that. And I'm playing a song from that today. I can't believe I forgot earlier. I saw her in that. She played Lillian LaFleur. And that was with Mary Stuart Masterson and Laura Benanti. And my friend Jessica Brown. I saw Jessica Brown in it. You were good, Jessica. And Antonio Banderas.
Oh.
And Jane Krakowski. It was the most amazing use of water I had ever seen in a set. And I was very upset about them redoing it because, like, why would you touch Raul Julia? Another 1984. 1984 gave us a lot of good stuff. Movies and musicals. That was actually 2002 was this revival. She went on The Dancer's Life, The Visit, which was one of Kander and Ebb's three musicals that hadn't been produced yet when Ebb had passed, and they went back and finished it. And that was her last thing. But she had a book that she recently wrote. If you want to read a really good memoir, she wrote, it's called Cheetah, a memoir. Lovingly, for my birthday last year, my mom gave me a first edition copy signed by Cheetah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And wow. But you could tell, I could tell, it made me kind of sad to see her writing because it was really like, you could tell she was getting old. And I was like, oh, mom, this is exciting, but
sad at the same time. A few people had to say, I mean, there's we'll link to it. There's so many people saying stuff. Lin-Manuel Miranda, she was magnificent. She is magnificent. I'm not ready for the past tense just yet. My heart is with everyone in Cheetah's galaxy of family and friends. And we'll be blasting A West Side Story and Bye Bye Birdie and Chicago and so much music because she left us so much. Gracias, Cheetah. Alabanza. Harvey Fierstein, she taught me not only how to behave in public, but to take psyllium husk every morning to be sure that you're nice and to empty at curtain time. To say I love her is almost an insult. I feel like I mean, to say I love her is almost an insult to the deep connection I've always felt with her.
That's very good.
And so let me by simply send my heart out to Lisa, Armando, Lola, and Julio.
The Tony Awards, the Chicago the Musical, Audra McDonald, I'd always thought she'd live forever.
That's how I felt, Audra.
She was more than life and life itself. Rest in peace, beautiful and wondrous Cheetah. Rita Murano. I'm going to start getting upset because it's going to make me sad. But this woman was everything. I don't know what to say about her. I just adore her. And we were lucky enough to celebrate Terrence McNally's 80th birthday here in Austin at the Zach Theater. Cheetah was there. And we're going to listen to a little bit of Cheetah and her cheekiness as she was speaking to Terrence.
Yeah.
Please welcome Broadway legend Cheetah Rivera.
You've got to learn how not to be where you are. The more you face reality, the more you scar. So close your eyes and you'll become a movie star. Why must you stay where you are? You've got to learn. Hi, Terrence. It's Cheetah. Remember me? I was the original Anita in West Side Story. And you always said that I was your favorite. So who the hell is Ethel Merman? I love you, and you know I love you. First, we all know that we have the written word. And with that...
We can play some more on there, but you could tell her cheekiness from, like, yeah. Right off there at the top. There's a great... The book, Colored Lights, the Candor and Ebb book, a biography, basically. There's a really good story about her when they were doing the revival of Cabaret with Alan Cumming and Natasha Richardson at Studio 54. And when the pineapples fall out, like, they weren't sure. And she was like, when the pineapples fell from the ceiling, she, like, hit Candor and Ebb. It was like, the pineapples! Like, she was all... There's a really great Cheetah story in there. I don't know. Gonna miss her. She left us with so much. Thank you. And I swear there's a party up in heaven right now with some really good people doing some really good stuff. And I can't wait to see it one day.
And for folks that are curious about the clip, you can see the whole 80th birthday production on online. Zach filmed it, and it's out there, so folks can watch the whole thing.
Yeah, it had John Glover. It had Lauren Lane. It had Christy Altimore. It had John Boy. Yep. Richard Thompson?
Richard Thompson. Yep. I apologize to Richard.
Currently touring on To Kill a Mockingbird. That one.
But very but yes. Good. It was amazing. It was an amazing night.
Sadly, we also lost Hinton Battle yesterday. And Hinton's name may not be known so much as when you say his name, when you know his work. Hinton has left a legacy like Cheetah has, and only at 67. You might know him from the original Scarecrow in the original version of The Wiz, which it's making us resurgent back 40 years later. It's happening right now. Thank you, Miss Deborah Cox, for getting that started.
Wow.
You might know him from the original cast of The Tap Dance Kids, Sophisticated Ladies. He was quite the guy, and he apparently was ill. He co-directed and choreographed Evil Dead the musical. You guys, love you, Hinton.
I still need to see that. He did it.
He went over and started the Hinton Battle Dance Academy, which is in Japan.
interestingly enough, as we were talking, world-famous Bob's looking at me, I'm like, we were talking about Japan ahead of time. Yeah, the company is based in Japan, and he co-founded it with Yoshimoto Kyogo. So they help help students prepare for successful careers in entertainment in the industry and life. It shuttered, sadly, because of COVID. So I'm hoping Yoshimoto may rise it up again. But big loss on Hinton. Sorry to hear that. I'm going to move stuff along so we can – I'm not going to talk about everything as much as I wanted to. I knew that I was going to do that with Cheetah and Hinton. But yeah. You know what? They both deserve the time.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
In my opinion. And I should state, the opinions on this show are not that of the station, of its board of directors, of its programmers or listeners. They're just ours.
Yeah.
Simply ours.
Just in
case.
Get
that out there before I forget. Lisa's so proud of me. So with that, Lisa and I have talked about the remounting Peter Pan. Show's been around for 70 years. Lisa and I were like, oh, what are they doing? They asked Larissa Fasthorse to come in and rework some of the problematic parts of the script. And there is a really great article in Playbill about how Larissa Fasthorse and Lonnie Price went on changing this and making it basically a radically new and inclusive version of the 1954 musical. With, you know, I got a crow. Because, like, you know, I waited every night in my window because I thought Peter was coming to get me. I mean, I'm just going to let Lisa. Lisa knows this. Like, this is my jam. But it's been hard to love it with the problem. So you know, and Larissa Fasthorse, I had no interest in growing up. Neither did I, Larissa. I won't grow up. See, that's another good song. There's so many good songs. So, it's going to go on tour now with the original music of Carolyn Lee, Julie Stein, Betty Comden, and Aldolph Green. Mary Martin originated the role, but people probably remember because she was doing it for decades. And I mean, I saw her last do it 15 years ago. That would be Kathy Rigby.
Yeah.
And sometimes Sandy Duncan flew in and did it. Allison Williams did it on the live one, I think, right?
I think so. I think so, yeah.
I think I may have blocked that out. I'm sorry. But it's a really, really interesting article and has some beautiful images. Those are for the listeners to see. And we're going to have that posted online. So, because it's a really fun and interesting article. And Lisa and I have talked about it a lot. And I also want to say to talk about this with Lisa because she really... Once Upon a Mattress, fantastic, love it. We have the Encores production going on right now. There's a really great article that we're going to share about Harriet Harris and how basically having a whole career always playing zany offbeat characters, and a lot of people don't want to be typecast and stuck in this role. And she's like, are you kidding me? This is a blessing. This is my jam, and I'm so thankful for it. She's currently playing Queen Agavaine, the prince's mother. The cast stars Nikki Renee Daniels, Sutton Foster, Cheyenne Phillips, Michael Urey, Jay Harrison G. It's kind of a great cast. We're going to talk about a little bit of the review here in a second, but we'll have a link to that article. We had an opening. We had Kelly O'Hara and Brian D'Arcy James open Days of Wine and Roses, which is based on a movie, which is kind of some heavy stuff. And I love that this subheader sums it up. A Broadway-sized version of this new musical retains its unique brand of torment. it's about a couple and alcoholism. I mean, it's heavy stuff. And
Not first date material.
No, not like, yeah. And so, here's the picture. They look waning and wanting, like... And, you know, I was all like, I have no desire to see this. I actually have a desire after reading a lot of, like, what people said. It was the 1962 film. That's when it was. It's a story of a couple in the 50s whose relationship is built on and destroyed by their mutual addiction to the bottle. He has boozy, the PR guy, Joe Clay, that's who Brian D'Arcy James play. He has boozy all-nighters. He's dating a secretary. She has teetotaler tendencies, and they fall down a rabbit hole together. But it says in here that there is some uplifting. There is some stuff of taking it away. And they said depressing and harrowing it as it is. It's not the kind of show we often get around these parts, and it's kind of like we really need this, and it kind of did some amazing things. I was like, whoa. I was surprised. I was really surprised, but it got 4.5. The did they like it? Everybody had a thumbs up. Two people had a mid-level. No one disliked it.
Okay.
Which I found a little bananas. Here, while Days certainly doesn't go down to easy, it's energizing to see a show, including director Michael Grief, handle a mature theme like alcoholism with precision and compassion. Cheers to that. Now, I don't know if they were being funny there or not, because I was like, that's a little zingy in your writing. I caught that. Gillian Russo. That was from New York Theater Guide. So I don't know. They like it. But then Once Upon a Mattress, which is doing this one quick revival, that's playing at Studio 54, by the way, Days of Wines and Roses. Once Upon a Mattress is this limited run. People were like, it's all great. And although some people were like, made the comment that Sutton Foster does not sing it like Carol Burnett. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I'd ever want to read that. But they did say she brings so the crazy, goofy Waka Waka to it that it's just fantastic. It is just a silly, crazy show. They did update it with some of the stuff in there. They did take out the minstrel and then gave the jester some bigger stuff. So I think there was like two or three songs that were trios that are now duets that people said don't sound as beautiful, which I'm like, well, yeah, three versus two is different parts. But it looks like fun. I think it's a fun musical. I love it.
I can't think Sutton Foster can do no wrong in my eyes. That's like, I just like her too much. And so,
I like her. I think she's extremely talented.
Very, yeah.
But she nor Hugh could get me to go see The Music Man. So, but oh. I don't know if that's them or the material. But like, there was no way was
that's
I sitting
a big
through
deal because you're a Hugh fan.
Well, I don't like Oklahoma. I thought maybe Hugh would change that for me. Didn't work. So I was like, not going to do that to myself. Right. Music Man. I know what I know, and you know, it's not for me.
Okay.
But that's just me. And no one has to like the same things as me. That's why there's something for everyone. Tick, Tick, Boom, that is getting a remount at the Kennedy Center with Neil Patrick Harris directing, Brandon Unowitz, Danae Benton, Gray Hansen. People really are liking it, which is funny because Lisa and I, you know, the script was never really written when Jonathan Larson passed. It was written, but it wasn't so sussed out. It could have done work. It was one of those things he would work on more. People are loving it. Loving it, loving it, loving it. But NPH is one of those people I don't think he can do wrong in a lot of people's eyes. I love the NPH show. I mean, I'm not mad.
I'd be curious to see him. It's like, yeah, take this in a new direction, being more directing. It's like, that would be interesting.
Oh, I would love to have him direct me in something. That would be like a dream. I think he would be a great director. I think he'd be demanding.
Yeah.
But I think he'd be great. Oh, another thing. But Alex Newell. I love me some Alex Newell. They are the best. You may know Alex Newell because they recently just won and shocked the musical. But Alex is going over to London to do a 50th anniversary concert production of Pippin.
Hmm.
I think that's so cool. It's going to have a 25-piece orchestra and a 50-strong choir. Huh? With Alex. And Alex is going to play the leading player. Huh? Sadly, I will not be in London Monday, April 1st or Tuesday, April 2nd. But that's what's happening. They're going to announce more casting. I'm just like, please bring some more here. Elton, Sir Elton, who just got the EGOT, and Bernie Taupin, they are going to be honored with the 2024 Gershwin Prize for Popular Song. Not really surprised with it. So Elton John and Bernie Taupin have collaborated on the vampire musical Lestat. John also additionally contributed to The Lion King, Aida, and Billy Elliot that Elton worked on. And you may know Bernie's been in the news a lot lately because he is the one working on the Tammy Faye musical. With the Kristen Chenoweth and all of that, along with everything, and Elton too, and then Elton also has the Devil Wears Prada opening up in October. So the man may have said goodbye to the Yellow Brick Road and like retired, but the man is not retired. And so that's what's going on with him. We announced Broadway Backwards was coming back last week, but they just announced Broadway Bears. It had been back, but Broadway Bears is now set for June 23rd at 9:30. We don't know yet what the title and all that is, but it's the Broadway people and they're bare. And they do fundraisers and they do things. That's all I can really say online.
So the full Monty.
Covered at times, but it's,
what other songs?
It's definitely true Kit Kat Club-like, and it's just a fun way, great evening to raise money for Broadway Care. So that's an awesome thing. And they also announced Miscast, which is where you go in and would sing something. Like, I could go in and be Alexander Hamilton from Hamilton, which would never happen for multitude of reasons in real life. But that's what Miscast is that you're getting people singing different songs or different pieces and performing that would, like, never be cast in those roles before.
That'd be
cool. They already have announced for that one Tyne Daly, Brian D'Arcy James, Gavin Creel, Lauren Patton, Jay Rodriguez, Leslie Rodriguez, and Anika Noni Rose, Leah Salonga, Vanessa Williams. I mean, they have a great group going, so I can't wait to see what that is. And that is happening later in the month. Gutenberg the Musical with Andrew Rannall and Josh Gad made their money back and then some. They recouped their 6.75 and then made an extra gross of a few other monies, and they're making an album of it, so that's gonna happen. There's two other things, this content creator program and the I Love You Tobey Maguire and stuff, but that'll all be online because we gotta get going. So let's listen to a little bit of Hinton Battle from the Tap Dance Kids singing Fabulous Feet.
I ain't got a shiny black car, ain't got a bundle of.
We are back. Ooh, we got a lot of stuff out there.
A few moving parts.
That Hinton Battle has like voice like butter that I could listen to. I went down a rabbit hole listening last night making stuff. But we're not here to talk about me or what I was doing.
This is your show.
No, so not really.
It's all about you.
We're here to talk to our guests because we have some awesome guests. And when I was doing my theater preview for upcoming shows, I added you on last week and I was very excited when Lisa said you were all going to be guests, because I was like, oh, I was excited about this show. And this show is called Amaging. Age is more than just a number. It's a story. And with us, we have world famous Bob, Joseph Brooks, and Richard Roland Gartner. And I'm gonna open up and if you guys could welcome, first of all, thank you so much for being here. Who wants to tell us a little bit about this show?
I would absolutely love to. So I had an idea for this show about 10 years ago. My name is Bob. My real name is World Famous Bob. And it's legal. You can look it up, Tracy.
No, I think it's
wonderful. It's great at the airport. It's so much fun when I pull out my passport. And they're like, what?
Conversation, so, right?
Yeah. It's pretty fun. I always salute. They're like, World Famous? I'm like, reporting for duty. And then they're just happy because people at the airport are so miserable.
They are. That's why I jazz hand to them.
Yeah, jazz hands.
World famous Bob agrees names. With Nicole that we should jazz hand through life. Just want to put that out there.
Absolutely. That is true.
If anyone wants to join our party. But so tell us about this. 10 years ago,
So there's a project that me and my friend co-curated, Dusty Shoulders, called Campfire Queer Storytime. And it's a monthly community gathering that started at Dixon Place, a Lower East Side theater in New York City in Manhattan. And we started that about, I'd say, 12 years ago. And when I moved here to Austin almost 7 years ago, the idea was to get a Campfire Queer Storytime also happening here in Austin. And we want them to spread all over the world.
Yeah.
So if people are interested, they can reach out to me, theworldfamousbob.com, if you want to start a Campfire Queer Storytime. So I came here to Austin from New York City, and I found a home at the Vortex. And I have to say, I'm so happy. I've been a performer for 35 years. And when you move to a new city and you know two people and you don't have any connections, it is daunting. Mm-hmm. It's very daunting. So I was in the Outsider Fest I did Campfire Career Storytime. It went over really well. And then I reached out to management at the Vortex, and they gave us a monthly home. We've been there for over 5 years, and we actually were on the YouTube channel from the Vortex during the lockdown. We still did it.
I was about to say, I feel like I saw it all during the lockdown, and Lisa and I were still recording the interview, and I think Melissa came on and talked about it for a bit.
Yeah, so that was really great. So one of my dreams when I moved here and found a home for Campfire Queer Storytime was to, I'm the activities and programming specialist of Rainbow Connections ATX. That is a program of family elder care. And you might see in the ads that some of the proceeds are going to benefit that program. One of my goals through the program I work at and just in general in my life is to get people in the Two-Spirit LGBTQIA plus community ages 18 to 110 in the same room.
That's awesome.
And you might be like, 18 to 110? That's crazy, Bob. But we have, I ask, how many people in their 20s, 30s? So at Campfire Queer Storytime, if Richard comes, because he's my 90-year-old diamond and the crown of my mission. If Richard shows up, we've had 21 years of age to 90, and every decade represented in between.
That's so awesome.
It's really...
I feel like there's... First of all, we can always learn from everybody, but I think it's so cool that we can also realize we can relate in so many ways.
Yes.
Even though we also have something to learn.
Yes.
From experience. So, I mean, you're putting it all in this room. I got a little teary in my eyes for real. Like that warms my heart. That's awesome in so many levels.
Yeah. I moved here. I didn't know anyone. I started a meetup and I thought, well, I'll just start doing programming. And people said, who are you doing programming for? And I'm like, for us, do you want to come? So I just created the job I wanted to have and I did
it. You built the community.
I found the meeting tent. I created
this
space and people show up and they are the magic, right? So it's not the Bob show. It's very much like, if you can just set up the details for people, they're so happy to fill in. If you can take away, clear some of those obstacles or barriers of participation, everything I put together is free. Everything's near public parking, public transportation. Campfire has English
just to... Just making things accessible.
Yeah, English to ASL interpreters. Just making it at a time where a 20-year-old and a 90-year-old both want to go. 7 p.m. is a sweet spot, right? You move it up 1 hour, you lose Richard right away.
Me too.
You know, if it's too,
I should probably say Joseph's like me too. Yeah, Joseph, absolutely. I was almost like me too. So I get it. So this show, Amaging, is it kind of a compilation from doing all the story time and you kind of built out a whole show?
Yes. So I knew when I moved here that I wanted to do this show. And instead of auditioning people, because I was really interested in having people that aren't performers, Richard, of course, is one, and I'm so happy to have him on the cast. But in general, I wanted people that weren't performers. So my audition process was to find a home for Campfire, to do it once a month for over 5 years, to find at least 20 people over 60 that I loved, for 5 of them to fall in love with me back, and then for them to go up on the Campfire stage as much as possible over 3 years so that I could see who enjoys it the most and then ask them to be in the show. Here we are. It starts next weekend. It's a long game, Nicole. This is how I cast shows.
That's so exciting. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Joseph, Richard, I want to ask you, and you guys can decide who wants to answer first and stuff. You want to tell me a little bit about what you're doing with this show, who you are, I believe you all have different pieces in the way that it's set up. So you want to tell me a little bit about you, or you just want to go in, you want to give us a little taste?
Well, I can tell you a little bit about me. So like Bob, I've had a name change. I've had a couple of name changes, really. But I'll tell you about that in the little piece I'm going to read. But as we talk about Amaging and Campfire, I think one of the most wonderful things is you can read history, but when you get to speaking with people from these shows and listening to what they have to say, you're getting a whole different view of history. So if now's a good time.
Yeah, go right ahead. Let's do that. And then Richard, you're up next. So you're not off the hook over there. But yes, Joseph, this is Joseph Brooks. He's going to give us a little taste of his piece from Amaging.
Okay. And my story is called 64 because that's how old I am. But I'm starting at 39. So 39 was a big year. Kent was my significant other. That's what we called ourselves in 1999. I had been adopted as an infant by my grandparents and took their last name. I was adopted a second time as an adult by Kent. I became a Brooks that day. As gay men, we had no rights in 1999. Adult adoption is how we protected our family. It's how Kent and myself created rights for each other. A few years later, Kent and myself were in U.S. Customs in Bar Harbor, Maine. The customs officer was reveling in his power. He had two gay men and a standard poodle and a Subaru Forester that he could freely discriminate against. Where are you going? How long are you staying? Why are you returning to Nova Scotia instead of your home in Georgia? He had walked to the back of the car and looked at the Georgia plates. Kokomo, our standard poodle, was in the back watching his every move. He started the questions again when I said, "My father and I." With those words, he looked at our passports and saw we had the same last name, Brooks. He immediately told us we could go. With the same last name, we could not be gay. The rights of a father and son go a long way in a world full of hate.
That's a lot to, yes. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. And I've got another 9 minutes of that to share.
I was about to say, we didn't get the whole thing, right?
No. You didn't get the whole thing. So that's just a little portion.
That's fantastic. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. And what I get this. So all of these are very different stories. They're all completely personal. And how many people are in the show? Is it like six?
It's five elders, 63 to 90, in the Austin community. Joseph Brooks, Glenna Sue, a.k.a. Sparkle, who is my 73-year-old trans little sister, Anna Nguyen, Richard Rollin Gartner, and Masha Leia. So it's five people, and they each have very different stories. And there is going to be a little bit of visuals happening, a little bit of photos being shared. I don't want to say too much, but each person, I met with them one-on-one on Zoom over the course of 3 months and helped them select their story, curate their story, set up a rehearsal schedule, as well as storytelling techniques. And I'm so excited.
This is exciting.
A dream come true.
Richard, do you want to give us a little taste of what you're up to here for this evening?
Just start thinking about myself and where I've come from. I started singing at four, first time in front of anybody, and it was at the dining room table with my mother, father, and brother. And I just started singing. My mother said, "Stop singing, Dickie. It's rude." So that lasted about 2 weeks, and then I started again. But anyway, so then I've been a singer and a teacher, an actor, a dancer, and through all of these years, and finally it's evolved now into writing. I've written off and on all my life, but now that I've not quite ready, I'm not getting jobs acting like I used to because they ain't there. Anyway, so the story I have here is something I wrote many years ago. And it's of course true, and it's called "A Looking Up That Totally Changed My Reality." Hmm. Austin, Texas, in the 70s was awash in questioning psychedelics and all the conscious-raising fads. LSD became one of my standbys. I was living alone in a cozy one-bedroom cottage in South Austin, nestled on a hill surrounded by trees, overlooking a park with a creek running through. One lovely afternoon, while sitting on the cement steps leading up to my small cement porch, I drifted off into Never Never Land. When I opened my eyes, a young friend stood smiling. He sat. We chatted. Then he said, "Have you ever tried blotter acid?" I said, "I've only done pills." He said, "Well, do you want to?" And I said, "Well, yes." He tore off a small piece of paper sack, put drops of liquid LSD on it, and stuck it in my mouth. I mutter, slightly anxious, "Would you say that's a hit?" He said, "I don't know, but you'll find out." He smiled and left. The breezes were soft, the air clean, my being was engaged and curious. I decided that my favorite meditation stone on the creek would be the perfect location for this experience. It was located a block and a half away just past Woodlawn, a fairly busy thoroughfare down below the bridge next to the creek. 10 minutes later, I'm sitting on my rock, drinking in sunbeams as they play through the trees. And then the effects of the acid began playing in my body. My senses heightened, hearing the soft tinkle as water tumbled over rocks. Sparkles of sun hitting the ripples matched the trembling crawling up my spine into my head. And then coming on, I became anxious, imagining that a stranger might meander down the creek bed and know what was happening inside me. In a shaky voice, I said out loud, "I'd better be going home." Awkwardly, I managed crawling up the embankment, getting across East Side Drive, and made it to the stop sign. So get the picture. It's the corner of East Side Drive and Woodlawn, where a 40-something-year-old pseudo-hippie, beard down to the waist, hair down to the butt, spread eagle, stiff-arming a stop sign at a busy, fairly busy street, on the verge of a panic attack.
Thank you for that. And I know that was not all of it, because I see more of the pages. So there's so much more to go there. Well, thank you both for sharing with us today and giving us a taste of that. That was awesome sauce and really did make my day. We're about out of time. So before I say goodbye to you all, I know you have three performances, right?
Yeah, we have three performances.
About how long is the runtime on it and what ages are appropriate for it?
Ages 18 and over, and it's an hour-long show.
Oh.
And you can get more information if you're interested at vortexrep.org.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you
so much for coming on. I really do hope you all come again. I know Lisa was bummed out. She was missing you all today, but
well, it was
I know
nice
this
to
is
meet
not
you.
Your last time on Offstage and on the Air.
Yeah.
No.
I mean that. So we just had the Vortex rep with amazing ages more than just a number. It's a story playing February 9th through 11th at the Vortex. I want to thank world famous Bob, Richard Rowland Gartner, and Joseph Brooks for being on here to talk about that. For more information, you may visit vortexrep.org. And I chose I'm Still Here from Bali's.
Yes.
But I chose a version of Patti LuPone singing it on Pose. It moved me. So we're going to hear a hair of that, and then we'll be right back.
Le cinema today is in a crisis.
And we're back here to Offstage and on the
we're
Air.
We're back. We had a lot of stuff going on. It was like... All right, I'm running through this quick because we want to talk to our next guest.
Sure.
Playing right now. There is stuff playing right now. Frontera Fest still happening through the 17th. Million Dollar Quartet with TexArts still happening through right now through the 18th. February. Little Mermaid, Zach Theater, that's open now through March 3rd. Photograph 51 with Filigree Theater is running through February 4th. Spitfire Grill with Austin Playhouse running through the 18th of February. The Great Comet. I was like, oh, I thought I got them all off. Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812 at Zach Theater is opening this weekend, runs through the 3rd of March. The Feud, we had them on last week. The musical, February 1st through 10th. Beetlejuice. It's just Beetlejuice. But Beetlejuice musical is next week, the 2nd through the 11th. Say my name. That song will be in my head all day. Peter and the Starcatchers at St. Ed's. That's going to be opening in February. We have Amazing, who we just talked to, from the 9th and the 11th. The Twilights of Gold at City Theater, the 9th through the 25th. And we have Ground Floor Theater with Always a Boy, the 15th through the 2nd. Today in theater history. Stuff happened. Carol Channing was born. Hello, Dolly. Noel Coward is always in Today in Theater History. Every single week. I just can't get over
prolific.
It. The dude is in here again for Present Laughter, one of my faves. Opening a 1 week run at the Belasco. Ooh, he starred in it opposite Ava Garber.
Oh, wow. All right.
Woo! Okay, that's a good Today in Theater History. Heart and Heart. That's right. Mark Hamill was in a show in 1985, Harrigan and Hart. That was why. I was like, why did I pick that? I know.
All right.
Luke Skywalker, does he surprises you every day? Anyway, let's see. Tallulah Bankhead went on to star in Little Foxes.
You can believe that. And The Skin of Our Teeth, which have both been revived recently, but that was in 1902. Mm. And today we have birthdays. Fran Lieber, Eddie Cantor, Mario Lanza, Richard Clark, Philip Glass. I worked with that crazy man on one of his operas. Suzanne Plachet. Oh, Suzanne Plachet.
Oh.
That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
So good.
Danielle Ferlin, Jessica Walter, Paul Jabara, Anthony LaPaglia, Kate Schindel, and Kerry Washington. We are going to listen to just a hair of Folies Bergère, which popped in and out. And we're going to be right back with our guest, Stephanie Cugnola, with Walking Shadow Shakespeare.
Le cinéma today. He's in a crisis.
And we are back.
We're back.
We are back. We are back with Stephanie Cugnola with Walking Shadow Shakespeare, here to talk about Legends of the Hidden Tempest happening on February 9th.
Yeah, it is.
So tell us about this. I was saying I can do trivia and sign, or is it not trivia? Or what am I signing up for? I can sign up for Wheel of Fortune. What was it? What is it?
So it's Nickelodeon had a game show, Legends. Yeah.
Thank you. I was like, wait a minute. I was sliming times. Yes.
Yeah. It was like a little, I think it was pre-slime times, but.
It was when Nickelodeon. I'm so old. I remember when Nickelodeon came on air and had the little box that had the wire connected to cable, and you had to switch to the three different layers and then press the button. We were not cool enough to have it. I had to go over to Susan Height's house to get the box, but I got my MTV and my Nickelodeon from Susan Height. Thank you, Susan Height. But so your old school Nickelodeon.
Exactly, with a Shakespeare twist. So we've got some like... The first round is a craft. The second round is trivia. We will have an Olmec reading out the trivia questions. And then we'll do some puzzles and riddles and kind of, there may be a temple guard or two. You know, you never know what's going to pop out and scare you and ruin your childhood.
So where is this event taking place?
At Batch. Craft beer and kolaches.
Okay. Okay. This makes it even more exciting.
I've been there. It's a nice place.
It's a great spot.
It's a good spot, and they have this big backyard area. Mm-hmm. So that's where y'all are performing?
It depends on the weather. So okay. We can do it inside, and then it might be kind of like an indoor-outdoor thing, depending on the
movable runway. Setups are a very good thing. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you have this all. So this is a fundraiser for you all, and this is an event where you have some different pieces doing selections from work? Are you only, I mean, it's called Legends of the Hidden Tempest. So is it just Tempest? Are you going to have a little bit of more? Or is it the Hidden Tempest because you've got the game aspect going on?
It's mostly just the game. It will be all Shakespeare and not just Tempest, but Fantastic. Tempest and Temple was too easy not to grab.
Yeah, no, I laughed at that. I was like, I got where you were going. Once again, I'm so old, I stood in line to go see those movies in the theater. Same with Star Wars, Tracy. I remember waiting in line to see those with my papa. Oh, the good old days.
Mama and papa.
When I climbed rock to school in the snow, five miles a day with no shoes.
Can I have some more Star Wars? Can I have some more?
Papa, can I have some more movies?
Yes, more, please. So with this evening, do you have to be like a theater performer? No. Is this really open for everyone? I'm going to feel like I can participate and have something to contribute.
Yes. So anyone can come. We've got some raffles. We've got, you can watch the game. You can even take part in the game if you're not a Shakespeare nerd. The first part, you really don't need any Shakespeare knowledge at all. The trivia we're keeping pretty like 101, 201, we're not trying to crack any skulls here. So.
Okay. All right.
Ironically though, I think it's kind of funny that people in life, you realize how much Shakespeare you really know without having to open up Shakespeare. And so many of Shakespeare's words and sayings we use as slang in our everyday knowledge. And a lot of people are like, I'm like, oh, that's from Shakespeare. No, it's not. I'm like, oh, but it and, so is.
And all the references and all the things in modern age. It's like everything references like those stories.
I always... Lisa and I haven't said it on air in a long time. There are two Willies in this world that I love. Willie Nelson and Willie Shakespeare. I think they're the two Williams of this world.
The only two Willies you need.
Yep, they're the only two ones you need. They're the best Williams. I mean, one does Will, one does William, one does Willie. So I just, you know, we'll meet them in the middle with the name. But will Willie Nelson be making an appearance?
Oh, boy, you will just have to wait and find out on that one.
She made a face like she might be on to the same thing.
You tried to get her to reveal her secrets, but you have to go to the show.
Yeah.
It's like, so I see what you're doing.
Do you need to come? Do you need to come as a group and make your own group? Or can you come by yourself and get with a group? Or is it being done in groups? Like, how? What?
Yeah,
tell me a little bit about that.
We're doing signups online because we're making a custom T-shirt for everyone. Like the game show will have, you know, the
Did you hear
the
that,
green
Tracy?
Guildensterns or whatever.
Did you hear that? You get a custom T-shirt with your name and everything.
I can appreciate that. I can too. I collect T-shirts.
Oh. I know you do. That's why I was like, did you hear that, Tracy?
And I like the immersiveness of this. It's like the audience participation of it all. It's like, this is kind of cool. It's like, if you're going to batch, it's like for a kolache and a beer, it's like, oh, I get to be a part of a show as well?
Yeah, yes. Someone might wander in and just, you know, you never know where the night will take you.
But it's really not just one game or trivia, so to speak, because you have, you said scavenger hunt? Did you have a scavenger hunt?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. There's a version of a scavenger hunt, we'll say.
Okay.
That's fantastic. This is so fantastic. So this is your one event for your stuff. I know you have a show coming up in the spring, but could you just give us a quick, we're running out of time, so I don't want to go down a rabbit, but could you give us a quick little, who is Walking Shadow Shakespeare Company? What is it that you do?
Yeah, so we specialize in kind of pop-up productions and interactive educational programs. So our spring show.
Speaking my language, all about some arts education.
Yes, we do have a school program that we're looking to launch in Austin. We've done in New England primarily, hoping to come here soon.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, our spring show is one rehearsal, so people just learn their lines on their own.
Is it Troilus and Cressida? Is that my remembering correctly? Yeah. My noggin's still working. No, I like Troilus and Cressida.
Me too.
I like Cymbeline. That's another problem. It's my favorite. Yeah, I know. And it's like people say it's the problem, but I'm like, no, there's no.
It's only a problem if you can't solve it.
Yeah. So I'm on the same page with that one and stuff. So this is great. So you have the one show coming up in the spring, and then you're working on this education program. If people want to find more information about Legends of the Hidden Tempest or your upcoming production of Troilus and Cressida, or about how they maybe could get involved in this getting the education program, helping you launch it to get off the ground here, or just in general about Walking Shadow Shakespeare Company, where would they find that info?
You can go to walkingshadowshakespeare.com or WSShakes on Instagram.
That's fantastic.
Shakes.
So I'm just going to, a few more questions. What time does this event start at batch?
7:30.
And it's a one night. About how long do you think it'll last?
Probably about 2 hours.
Okay. And what kind of age range for you?
It's all ages. We're keeping it family friendly.
Because William is for everyone. Mm-hmm. He is for everyone. All right. This sounds like a lot of fun. I chose a fun song for after this. So you'll probably laugh. I'm sure you know it. But well, I just want to thank you so much for coming on and talking about this. It's Walking Shadow Shakespeare Company with Legends of the Hidden Tempest on February 9th at 7:30 p.m. It's at Batch. This is Stephanie Crignola. Was just here to tell us about that. And if you would like more information, you can find that at walkingshadowshakespeare.com. And don't be distraught. You can find all these the Tempest stuff. It may not be on the homepage, but it's right under events. We'll be right back. We're going to play a little bit of something that'll be fun with Will. And we'll be right back. Say goodbye.
We want Will. We want Will.
Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from...
We went well, some willpower from Something Rotten. Okay, we're done, Tracy. We had another hour. Thank you for joining me. Lisa is back next week.
Oh, my pleasure.
I love when you stand in. Stand by next for Austin Cool. No, we have Austin Common Radio Hour with John Hoffner.
Yeah.
Let me make that clear. It is Austin Common Radio Hour with John Hoffner. That's what's happening next. We'll be back next week when we take a look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And we're just going to go out with a little bit of hit and battle on Broadway. And John Hoffner will be back on with some chatting and good stuff.